Anybody can sell a ball of yarn, but the fact that I can have a hands-on approach with the stores and with the consumer, that they make something that I've designed and they wear it and they come back and they show it to me, it's the biggest pleasure that anyone can give me, is to show me something they've done that I've touched and had my hands on with them. It's a cooperative effort where everyone's happy.
That was Barry Klein, knitwear designer and owner of Trendsetter Yarns, on this episode of the Power Pearls podcast, where you'll always hear candid conversations with everyday knitters and designers with compelling backstories. I'm Kara Gott Warner, editor of Creative Knitting Magazine and host of Power Pearls podcast. And I will dig deep and ask the big question, why we started knitting and what keeps our needles going. Hey, I want to welcome you to another episode of Power Pearls Podcast. Today I'm chatting with Barry Klein, who is the owner of Trendsetter Yarns. And as you'll soon hear in this episode, Barry calls himself a child of the industry because he really just started so young. He grew up in the industry. His mom owned a yarn shop and he learned early on how to design. So he designed for customers in the yarn shop and eventually he started designing knitwear for the movie industry. And Barry and his mom started Trendsetter with the idea of bringing fashion yarns to the knitting consumer. And then in 2012, they introduced Lotus Yarns to the Trendsetter family, which includes a beautiful collection of luxury fibers. And it's now 24 years since the start of Trendsetter, and Barry continues to guide the company and create on-trend yarns for the knitting consumer. He's also published 5 knitting books and appeared on craft television shows. He's a knitting spokesperson and teacher at events such as Stitches, Vogue Knitting Live, and he does a series of trunk shows at local yarn shops. And also, Barry has been voted one of the top 10 men who knit throughout history. And also in this episode, Barry is going to talk about TNNA, which is the National Needle Arts Association trade show, which is coming up very soon. So if you're listening to this in May of 2016, when this goes live, in June, TNNA will be taking place in Washington, D.C., June 10th through the 13th. So you can meet Barry in person and meet me too. I'll be there as well. I'll be there June 10th through the 12th. So without further delay, let's jump in and meet Barry Klein. Hey, Barry, I am so honored to have you as a guest on Power Pearls podcast, and I want to thank you for taking some time out of your busy schedule to join me.
Oh, it's my pleasure to be here. I've heard lots of great things, and it's nice to be a part of it.
So today we're going to chat about 2 major areas. So first about you and Trendsetter Yarns, your career as a designer, and then I'd like to switch gears a little bit and talk about your experience with the National Needle Arts Association. Does that sound good?
Sounds great to me.
Okay, awesome. So I provided some details about you and your background, Barry. And now what I'd like you to do is to just go back in time a little bit and share how it all began.
Okay, well, it's kind of a really sweet story. I always tell everyone when they ask me what I do, I say I'm a child of our industry because I learned how to needlepoint at 5 years old from Elsa Williams, who brought knitting and needlepoint and embroidery into the United States. She was one of the first people. And I sat on her lap and I learned how to do it. My mom had a knitting and needlepoint store. And so, you know, being young after school, there was no going home and being alone, even though back in that day it was very safe.
Yeah.
I got to go to the store and I got to play. And being 5 years old and touching all the needlepoint fibers and seeing people do things and seeing people be creative just caught my eye. And I'd always enjoyed doing things with my hands. And so I just dove right in. My mom had no animosity about, you know, a boy being in the store and learning how to do all this. And she appreciated that I loved the creative process. And in our store, what made us different is that, like, not all of our needlepoint canvases were hand-painted. And as far as knitting was concerned, we really didn't sell pattern books. People came in the store and we had a wall that had pictures of collars, pictures of fronts, back sleeves, and swatches. Everyone that made a swatch, we would ask them if we could keep their swatch, and we would put their name on it. So it was like an awards board. And they would come in and they'd say, okay, I want to do that front, that back, that sleeve, that collar. Put it all together, and I want to do it in that stitch pattern. And we learned how to take a full set of body measurements. So from the get-go, it was all about custom designing. It made bodies really important. It made learning about yarn and texture and how things fit on the body. What happens when you go from a 4-inch swatch to a 20-inch piece? It was really interesting. And it was just all about the creative process and how taking a visual and turning a visual into reality.
Wow. So would you actually walk people through the pattern? So it wasn't, because you said it, you didn't have patterns. So there wasn't like that traditional pattern that we have today in, you know, in magazines and in yarn shops. So how would you present the pattern, let's say, or so, you know, so if someone was sitting in the shop, how could they work on that design and then also take it home and continue?
Sure. Well, we sold all of the, you know, the big books. So Knitters Magazine, Vogue, Interweave, all of those existed. And we sold those because they had a name attached to them. But when it came to something that we custom did, we would give the customers a copy of their body sizes, their body measurements. So they had a reference to go home with. And we always wrote the back. That way, if there were any changes, if their gauge changed, they went home and had something to drink or went home and had a fight and, you know, got the death grip on their knitting.
Right.
If there were any subtle changes, it was better that we caught it early before the entire piece was done, because knitters have a tendency to get so excited about what they're doing that they forget about changing or checking gauge again and again and again. And they end up finishing an entire sweater and it doesn't fit. So this made it that we had to see the customer again. It also gave us an opportunity to make our customers our friends. We saw them on a regular basis. And it also gave us a chance to show them the new yarns that came into the store on a regular basis, because it was really important to always have something new to get people excited about.
Mm. So how does this approach influence the way you design today?
Well, it flows through 100%, because it was all about the creative process. And in our store, we were always looking for yarns that were new, that were different, that were exciting. And that's kind of how our company got started, with a company name of Trendsetter. People always came into the store and said to my mom, who is my business partner, she's retired now, but Trendsetter is our company. And they always said, oh my God, Myrna, you're such a trendsetter. You always do things before somebody else does. So when it came time to start our own company, we decided that's it. If we are trendsetters and we've always done it, we're going to keep that going. And so the yarns that we pick are yarns that are not readily available, are not things that have been done before. We don't necessarily look at something and say, it's already out there and it's successful and we can sell it for a little bit less, so we're going to take a piece of the market. That's not our goal. We're not that kind of company. We want to be the first ones to have it. We want to be at the top of the curve, and we want to be the first ones to have it. And while we end up being copied a lot of the times, in the beginning it got horrible and it got hard. But after 28 years of doing it, you kind of say, okay, it's a pat on the back that everyone wants to do what you want to do. And that's nice.
Mm-hmm. So what would you say that Trendsetter is best known for when it comes to yarn?
Wow. that's tough. We have one yarn that's been in our line for 26 of our 28 years. It's called Dune. And it's a brushed mohair that has beautiful, beautiful hand-dyed colors in it. And it has a cotton and metallic blend that's added to it. So what Trendsetter is really known for is texture and detail. If someone ever asks me what's Barry's motto, it's let the yarn do the work. I'm happy doing stockinette, doing garter, doing corrugated rib, doing an easy stitch pattern that I don't have to concentrate on, because I want to see what the yarn's going to do. I want to see the color changes. I want to see the textures come out, and I want it to drape and move on the body. So for me, and picking yarns for Trendsetter, it's just about having beautiful yarns that I want people to come and touch me.
Yeah, exactly.
I know that sounds weird, I like, come and find out what it's all about.
I definitely would agree. I mean, you hit the nail on the head, because when I think of trendsetter myself, I always think about how the yarn does all the talking. you know. Yep. So what is new this season that you want to maybe talk about that knitters can expect to see for spring?
Wow. Well, we're doing some really fun things this season. We've hired somebody new to work here who's going about the social media aspect of it, because it's a missing ingredient for Trendsetter. I'm at that age group where it's all very new to me. And it's kind of scary to me. I hate to admit it, but it is. I just learned how to do Instagram, and at 54, doing Instagram is kind of strange. But you're letting people in on your life, and that's kind of fun. Mm-hmm. But some of the new things that we're doing is based off of seeing what's not out there, and what can we talk about and have a conversation about. And so we've done a whole new line of ribbons that are designed specifically for accessories. We're doing a ribbon. That you will crochet it or knit it, but it becomes part of a thong and not the wearable kind on the body, but the kind that's for your feet. So we're going to have the rubber bases, and you're going to make a triangle, and it's going to get put in place. There's another ribbon that we're doing that is all polypropylene, which means it's part of the recycling process. All the plastic bags that people buy and throw away, this company gets them, shreds them, recycles them, and creates a knitting yarn out of it. So basically, it's knit plastic, although it doesn't feel plasticky. It's shiny and tubular and beautiful and solid colors. It doesn't say, Ralph's or Kroger's or anything like that on it. And we're going to be doing little t-shirts, but we're also doing a whole line of handbags. So there'll be a leather base with holes across the top, and you pick up and knit the top of it. We're going to do crocheted backpacks and accessory bags. There's going to be little triangle leather edges. It's going to be all about doing things that create a conversation and finish an outfit. So we've already got the body part of it under control. Now we're going about the rest of it, finishing off the outfit with accessories.
That's great. And I love how this is a really inventive way to, to upcycle, recycle, whatever we want to call it. And because knitters and crocheters are really looking for that more and more. Exactly. So this is the time. So yes, you are a trendsetter, Barry.
The other part that's nice about it is we're also looking to get people who have not knit or don't know how to knit, and also the young youth market. If we can teach them how to knit a triangle and garter stitch, so you cast them on and help them just knit and do a triangle, they can make a pair of thongs to wear over the summer. They can make it for all their friends, and you get them excited about the process. So it helps breed a whole new market. And that's another aspect in it, is doing things that are simple, easy, that bring in people that don't necessarily do the craft and get them excited about it.
That's pretty cool. So, I want to ask you the next question. I usually start with this one, but I want you to share a pivotal or memorable story about how knitting helped you get to where you are today.
Wow. That's a really good question. Knitting is my freedom. No matter what happens at night, I always get an hour to knit. So good day, bad day, flying on an airplane, teaching a class, it is my release. And every year, no matter how many things I do, no matter where I go, I always take a vacation where I can have 5 days sitting on a lounge chair, either on a cruise ship or sitting at a beach, where I can be Barry the creative person and not Barry the trendsetter yarn owner.
Yeah.
And Barry the designer and Barry the creative person. I can do things, and I don't knit for myself, but it gives me the freedom to grow beyond the daily knitting life that I have. And what's great about it, and it's probably the best example I can give, but it happens often. We just did a show in Florida for one of our stores, and a customer came in, and a year ago she came to our show, and she had had the beginning of scoliosis, so her back was starting to curve a little bit. And she told me that she had stopped knitting, and if I could find a solution, she would continue knitting. And we talked about making armhole differences. Because she was leaning more forward, she really just needed a deeper armhole in the back and more neck shaping in the back. and a shorter one in the front. So we took one of the sweaters, we redid the instructions for her, and she came in wearing the sweater.
Wow.
And she was the first woman in the door. She walked in and she gave me a hug and she said, "I have to show you what you've done for me. You've given me my love of knitting back and you've changed my life." And she said, "I don't want to get emotional about it, but I want you to know what this means to me. That's what changes my life. Anybody can sell a ball of yarn, but the fact that I can have a hands-on approach with the stores and with the consumer, that they make something that I've designed and they wear it and they come back and they show it to me, it's the biggest pleasure that anyone can give me, is to show me something they've done that I've touched and had my hands on with them. It's a cooperative effort where everyone's happy."
That's a beautiful story. And I have to, you know, agree with that, because, you know, you get, you know, you have those days that, you know, they're like, you know, your work is work, right? And then when you hear those stories or you connect with those kind of people, you realize how you are bringing happiness into people's lives with this craft. Mm-hmm. And it is amazing. And it's what keeps me going too on those bad days, I'll tell you, you know, because you have them.
The people who don't know, and the people who don't know what we do, and you think they say, "What do you do?" I sell, "Well, I sell yarn." They look at you like you've just flown from Pluto. People knit, what's yarn? You know, it's thread. People don't get it until they see what you do. And it's such a visual and such a textural, and it's really, it's all heartfelt, which is great.
Absolutely. So now I want to shift gears a little bit, Barry. Let's talk about TNNA, which is, well, I'll say the long version, the National Needle Arts Association, for anyone listening that is a newbie out there, because I think that there are new people listening that have never been. So, you know, and I want to start first by sharing that you, you know, you have been a longtime member yourself and a past TNNA president, and you do still sit on the board. So, And so you just know this organization inside and out. And I'm also a cheerleader for TNNA too. So we could talk about this forever. But anyway, so now, can you, you know, just kind of dive in and share information for anyone that's new out there and provide an overview about the association and, you know, how this can help designers and new yarn businesses?
Absolutely. For me, TNNA, the best way to describe it is it's Disneyland. It is an opportunity to go to a place that has every kind of land that you can want. We have all sorts of needle arts, from knitting to needlepoint to embroidery to cross stitch to weaving. It's all aspects of the needle arts that come together and put on a display, but it's a display of inspiration. It's an opportunity for, like myself as a wholesaler, I get to meet the store owners. It's a chance for them to come and talk to me, to talk about their needs, to talk about trunk shows, yarn needs, price needs, samples, whatever it takes to keep them in business, keep them happy, and make our business relationship work really, really well. It's under one roof. It happens twice a year. There's always a fashion show. There's marketing discussions. It involves education. The association does a survey that gets updated. It's the most brilliant survey that anybody could get their hands on. And as a member of TNNA, you are entitled to have it and download it and use it. And it talks about, what do designers make? What do stores make? Do store owners get to have an income? Does it cover health benefits? How do you make a living at some that you can keep successful? And it's a partnership between an association and all of its members.
Well, you know, you've also been you've been in charge of the fashion show for many years.
And yeah, it's about 15 years.
I know,
now.
And I always like to call it Vegas for knitters. You know, it's like, but it is. I love, I love TNNA. But like, that's exciting. You know, and so it was on Saturday mornings for a while, but it's usually on Friday night and has been for so long. So Friday night when the show starts, that opening night, and it really is exciting. Can you talk a little bit about the fashion show and your involvement there?
Sure. The fashion show is an opportunity for every participating member. So within TNNA, we have a subgroup called the Yarn Group. It is something that you have to pay a membership dues to. It's very nominal. It's open to wholesalers and designers, and we love designers to be a part of it. It's an opportunity for the designers to come and meet all of the companies whose products they use, to meet companies that they haven't met yet and be a part of, get to learn about their products. And then at the fashion show, it's an event where companies select garments from their collection, something that they want to inspire either by color or by texture or by style. This year, our next show is coming up in Washington, D.C. in June, and we are going to be doing a colored theme. So we've gone to a color forecast. We're going to set sweaters together by color, and it is indeed a runway. There's a little conversation about who designed it, what details are important, but the model walks up and down the runway. The room is full of about 700 people. We photograph everything. We Instagram it out there. We put it out there. We do a little video that the stores can have. I have a lot of designers that are new to the industry who contact me and ask me if we can partnership, which is really nice because there is a fee involved to putting something on the runway. So it's an opportunity for me to have more Trendsetter or Lana Grosso or one of our other, you know, companies put out on the runway where I don't have to pay for it all and the designer becomes a partner in it with me. But the fashion show is a wonderful way to expose everything to the store owners that are there and get them excited to hit the show floor the next morning and go buy.
Oh, absolutely. I think that's a tremendous thing because, you know, you see that garment on the model and, you know, that's what makes you want to go make a beeline directly for that, you know, booth. I mean, seriously, I think it's tremendous for that. So,
well, and as a designer sitting in the audience, hearing the applause for something that you've designed, seeing it walk down the runway. And now we used to have it where you came down the runway and you walked back. You never got to walk the room. Now there's stairs at the end of the runway. So it doesn't matter where you sit in the room. Everybody gets to see it and touch it. And although there's a little time constraint because we need the model to change clothes again, it's really an opportunity to get up close and comfortable and see everything that is there for you.
So the show in Washington is coming up in June. And so this is the fall buying show. I just want to kind of give a little perspective here. So is that right? Yeah, fall?
Yes.
Yeah. I always have to think. I have to think for a second.
It's always opposite
seasons. So the yarns that will be available. So yes, so fall buying. And so all the shops come. So, you know, maybe can we discuss what would someone new going for the first time, what would they need to do to qualify to go to the show?
All right. The best thing that they can do, first of all, is to go to the website for TNNA, and it's www.tnna.org.
Okay.
And it says on there very clearly, becoming a member. I know that there's criteria that they need. So they're going to need a resale license. They're going to need to have proof that they have a lease. If they're opening up a retail, if they're doing online, they need to prove that they have an existing website and show that it's already running. If somebody's brand new, they have nothing at all, they would need to come with a friend or have somebody sponsor them. Our goal is to certainly get new people to come in, but because wholesale figures and wholesale information is given out, we are very protective about the people that come to the show so that we protect the stores that are existing and the designers that are existing. And really, it is that easy. Mm-hmm. If you can get the right online, it says opening a store, becoming a designer. You download that information. You have to bring it with you. If you really want to make your life easy, you do it in advance and get it to them. You know, I'm currently working with somebody who's getting ready to open a store. She's purchased a color book from us in advance so she can show one purchase. And I've written a sponsorship letter that I've met her. I would like her to have access to the trade show floor so she could see everything. Please allow her to come on. So that's her one piece of information. She's got her resale license and she's got a checking account in her business name. And I think you have to bring 3 out of 7 or 8 things.
So for designers though, I mean, it actually is pretty straightforward because then you need a sponsor letter, like you said before, and I've written them myself for designers since Annie's has been both you know, a vendor at TNNA and also an affiliate as a publisher, as affiliate member, I think. I always get confused with the different levels. And so that's something that do you need to have the tax ID information and all that? I mean, is that also required for designers as well?
No, that shouldn't be because they're really not purchasing. The tax ID information is if you're planning on purchasing something. As a designer, if you're coming to look at merchandise, to talk about designing or to network with other people, network with other designers, there are events involved that allow you access to the show floor without having to worry about the extra little details.
Okay. All right, cool. So now let's talk a little bit about this bet. No, I'm going to start over. Don't worry, I can edit. Let's talk about the Building a Better Business seminar series. This is a pretty new
Yeah.
thing, right? It's like
It
wildly successful, and now it's for retailers. Is that correct?
is.
Okay.
It is. I know that there are wholesalers that have talked about becoming a part of it and taking classes, because certainly we all need to be better at the job that we do. But the education part of TNNA tends to be when we're setting up our booths. So it does make it difficult to multitask and do that. I know that down the road, they're talking about setting up an event for wholesalers where we can go and have an education set up. They're also doing online classes right now that we can tie into as wholesalers. But the education program certainly is growing, and it's growing bigger and better. And what they're looking to do is create stronger stores who truly understand what it takes. A long time ago, when homes didn't require two incomes, it was pretty easy for someone to open up a yarn store. And if it was successful, that was great. And if it broke even, it was okay. And if it lost a little bit, there was always a little bit of extra income just to keep it going because it made everyone happy. Well, life is a lot harder now. Things are very expensive. Rent is hard. Yarn is expensive. Electricity, I mean, every part of life is expensive. And so this building a better, stronger store owner involves every part of business, from being a business person to being a designer, to learning about education, to holding on to your customers, to doing social media. It's everything that it takes to be a successful business owner in the needle arts industry today.
Beautiful. I know. I'm really excited about these seminars, and I think it's a really great move for TNNA to go in this direction. And I really think from the perspective of, from being a designer myself before becoming an editor, it really TNNA really is quite a career maker. It can be if you really recognize that it's just a great opportunity to network and get to know the yarn companies and the publishers and take advantage of the seminars and the classes. I mean, that's one thing we didn't talk about, the classes. I mean, they're huge. I mean, that's a whole other, conversation, isn't it? But
TNA is just very expensive, and
oh, so
it's an amazing thing to be a part of. You're right, from every side of it, it is just wonderful.
So now there are new things on the horizon too, like webinars and other things that TNNA is trying to do outside of the show. Is that correct? I'm hearing talk about that.
It is. It is. They've already started. They just did their first one. And what they're realizing is that not everyone can come to a trade show, and not everyone will come to a trade show. And it's important for us to be able to market the industry, market ourselves, and keep store owners strong so that maybe they can't come because they're a single person in the store and there's no closing the store. Or they don't really understand what TNNA is about because it's such a visual. People ask me all the time, why should I come? Well, I could give you the verbal, but the minute you walk on that show floor and you see it all, like I
Oh,
said,
yeah.
Disneyland, it really is Disneyland. Once you've done it, you're going to come back time and time again because of the experience, the networking, the partnership, the friends that you make. They're lifetime friends, and they will be with you and they will be your support system. But that's what the webinars are about, is to give you access to some of what TNNA does and who we are as an industry so that you can keep up with everyone and not fall behind and hopefully find a way to come to the shows.
Yeah, I think that's a really good incentive. And I know that it is hard for some people, to financially to make it to the show. So that is it's a really good way to at least be there in that respect. But there's nothing like touching and feeling, like you said earlier. And I know for myself, I just have to be there. If there are things that swirl through my mind that don't swirl, if I'm not there, because you're talking to people, you're brainstorming, you're getting excited, you're going out to a nighttime, get together. I mean, it's just there's nothing like FaceTime. That's just the fact.
Yeah, I've tried to go online and buy yarn online, as a individual buying things outside of Trendsetter because I do buy yarn. I have got my own stash, which is crazy to imagine with a 10,000 square foot warehouse that I still have a stash, but I do. But I can't buy it online because I can see an eyelash and I can see a slub and a nub and I can see color, but what I can't do is touch it. And I love the smell of yarn. And I can only do that when I go to an event like TNNA or I go to Stitches or TKGA or any of the events that are out there. And there's a million of them. I have to have it in my hands, and that's what helps me fall in love.
Oh, absolutely. I totally agree. So this was a really good, you know, overview of TNNA. So everyone's going to go out there and find out more. And now I want to just kind of go through some closing questions for you.
Sure.
So, you know, from a business perspective, I want to ask you, what is the best advice you've ever received?
Be 100% honest.
Oh.
That there's no... Lying is the worst thing that you can do. Whatever the situation is, nothing is perfect. Patterns have mistakes. A yarn label has a mistake. You sold 13 balls of yarn and it took 12 and somebody has an extra ball of yarn and they want help figuring out what to do with it. Don't try to get around it. Be honest with people and they will be honest with you and it will create a relationship that lasts forever. No one is perfect, especially in knitting. We're far from perfect. 100% honesty will win it.
That's great advice. Thank you. So now how can the listeners learn more about you, Trendsetter, and TNNA?
You know, the website is the best way to do it. Trendsetteryarns.com, TNNA.org. We have access to everything that we do, what TNNA does. We have sales reps that are out there showing off our products. So if somebody's thinking about joining the industry, sales reps are wonderful. They show lines besides Trendsetter. We don't have exclusive sales reps. And if anyone has questions, the best thing they can do is go on our website under Contact Us. It comes right to my office. Heidi's my secretary and she runs things for me here. She'll read through it. She sends everything over to me. If I'm out of town, she'll just let you know, Barry will be back in a few days and get to you. You will always get an answer and I'm happy to talk to anyone about what we do. And about what TNNA can offer to them. My heart's broken between both sides, Trendsetter and TNNA. I've been doing TNNA since before there was a TNNA. So truly, I am a child of this industry.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's great, Barry. So I will see you in June.
I look forward to it. We'll have a drink together.
Absolutely.
Perfect.
All right, see ya.
Thanks, Kara. Take care.
I hope you enjoyed that episode with Barry. We had a great little chat. It was an awesome education about his company, about Trendsetter, and also about TNNA. So if you want to learn more about Barry, you can go to www.trendsetteryarns.com and you can see what he's up to. You can see the full collection. So spring is in full bloom right now. And, you know, if you're going to be heading to TNNA, which is in June, so that's next month, and it's going to be June 10th through the 13th. So you can meet Barry there. You can go to the Trendsetter booth and you can see the full collection. And I'm also going to be there June 10th through the 12th. And I'd love to meet you. That would be awesome. So if you happen to see me and you know what I look like, if you see me, say, hey, like just stop me and I would love to chat. It'd be awesome, awesome, awesome. So if you want to learn more about TNNA, you can also go to TNNA.org. And, you know, from a designing perspective, they have some really amazing groups that have been formed over the past few years. One of them is Build a Better Business. So there are some workshops and different types of courses that you can take advantage of if you're a retail company, but also if you're a designer as well. I think these apply. And then there's business and creative services meetups and networking events that I'm actually going to be at. So there is an event on Saturday morning at 8:30, and it is social networking. I think it's called social networking, and it's a podcaster and blogger meetup, and it's at 8:30 a.m. on Saturday, the 11th, June 11th, and I will be there. I'm so excited. I can't wait. So look for me and just look for the Power Pearls t-shirt that I'll be wearing. So it'll say Power to the Pearl. So look for that. I'm so excited. I just got them. So there's going to be some Power Pearl swag available pretty soon. So I will be there. And, you know, it's a great place to meet podcasters if, you know, you're looking to add this type of thing, you know, to your business. If you want to learn how to podcast, and or if you are looking to get on a podcast. And also, I know there'll be other podcasters there as well. Marisa Garris from the Creative Yarn Entrepreneur podcast will also be there. So that'll be a lot of fun. So, you know, there's a lot to check out. So great, great resources. So I hope to see you there. I also want to give a shout out to my Patreon supporters and give a special shout out to the following. I want to thank Megan Jones, Francois Denoy, Rebecca Jones, Jana Ford, Danielle Noe, Trudy Fedorko, and Caitlin Hunter. I want you all to know just how much I appreciate you and your generous support of Power Pearls. It really means so much. And if anyone out there listening is interested in learning more how you can support the show and, you know, find out about some of the sweet rewards and perks that you can get for as little as $5 a month. And, you know, you can even, if you can only do $1 a month, that's fine too. So there's lots of different levels. There's lots of flexibility. So if you want to learn more and you would love to support the show, you can visit patreon.com/PowerPearls Podcast, because every little bit helps and your support would be greatly appreciated. Thank you so much. And this episode was brought to you by Annie's Signature Designs, an upscale pattern collection envisioned by Lena Skovargason. Visit AnniesSignatureDesigns.com to learn more about the current Summer Love collection of 20 plus knit and crochet patterns for the discerning knitter and crocheter. If you're looking for both an on-trend and timeless collection of patterns that coordinate, are easy to make, and will become your go-to wardrobe favorites, then visit AnniesSignatureDesigns.com for more info. And while you're there, you can watch the 360 view videos of each of the patterns in the collection, which will give you a comprehensive look at the design before you make your purchase. Also, you can join Annie's Signature Designs on Instagram, and that's at Annie's Signature Designs, one word, and you can learn about giveaways, updates, about new collections, and you'll get behind the scenes previews of works in progress. So again, visit Annie's SignatureDesigns.com. See you next time.